doing this morning? Come on, give me something more than that. How's everybody doing this morning? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Come on. But we're going to get started, but I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer. So Heavenly Father, we invite you into this place. Come and be enthroned on our worship. Everything is yours. Lord, this sanctuary is yours. Our worship is yours. And we give all the praise to you in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Or forsaken us. Your hand will follow us all the days of our life. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the victory that we have in you. We thank you for your word, for your promise, for your truth, for your name, Jesus, that breaks through each and every chain that the enemy tries to ensnare us with. Thank you, Father, for our victory in you. We worship you now.
I'm gonna see a
gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Come on, sing that out. I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus, we stand firm on the promises that your word has spoken before us. That every weapon formed against us and every war that wages on, you win. You've already won, Jesus, and we stand firm in that victory, Lord. And if you feel comfortable, put your hands out as a sign of receiving. Receive this blessing from God, that you are victorious, and you are already victorious because the blood that was shed on the cross for you. And that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, and we are his sons and daughters. We are heirs of God's majesty, of God's kingdom. We are heirs of our Father who is in heaven. And we receive, God, now that we stand victorious because of you, because of your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that we would just step boldly in faith. Step boldly in the name that you've called us to, the identity that you have given to us. I pray that it would become a reality in our lives, that we are victorious. Thank you, Jesus. And it is all for your glory, and your name to be great. In Jesus' name, amen. So happy to see you all here this morning. You can go ahead and greet your neighbor, grab your seat, and we'll get right into the announcements.
Hi everyone, my name is Mary and I serve in our young adult group here at Harvest Time. If you're new to Harvest Time and want to get connected, filling out the connection card is your next step. When you walked into the service, you were handed what we call a program. Inside, you can find upcoming events as well as a few ways to get plugged in. At the bottom right-hand corner, we've added a QR code inside to help make it easier to find links. All you have to do is grab your smartphone and place the camera above the QR code. Here, you'll be able to fill out a connection card, join our newsletter, send in prayer requests, and so much more. We're so excited to be together. And in order to stay safe, we're asking that everyone register online before attending one of our Sunday services. It's super easy. Either visit us online at htchurch.com or scan the QR code in your program and click on the bottom that says Tickets for Services. Choose a service you're planning to attend and how many will be joining you. Kids K-5 are welcome to be part of the Kids Church experience during the 10 a.m. service. We're also offering preschool and nursery care for toddlers walking and up. We're asking that all families obtain a ticket for each of your children by using our pre-check through our website or QR code. Here at Harvest Time, we have the privilege to host a three-day soul care conference taught by Dr. Rob Reamer, November 19 through 21. Do you ever feel that something is blocking you in intimacy with God? At our Soul Care Conference, we'll unpack topics such as identity, pain, resentment, anxiety, and lies, in order to make room in your soul for good things like peace, love, and joy. For more information, contact Pastor Anita and make sure to go online to purchase your tickets this month at our early bird discounted price. Whether you're joining us in person or online, we know that God has something special planned for us today.
Hello, Harvest Time. It's Livna here, and I am so excited to announce that we will be starting our HT Kids Christmas Choir rehearsals on Sunday, October 25th from 11 to 11:30 a.m. in our Phase 1 sanctuary. This year, due to social distancing, we will be recording the kids choir and their performance will be aired in our Christmas Eve services. So if you have a child or know of a child in grades kindergarten through fifth, we encourage you to join. You can register by visiting our church website at htchurch.com and clicking on register, or you can simply scan the QR code located in your bulletin. Thank you so much. Blessings to you all, and I can't wait to minister through song again with your kids.
3, 2, 1! Okay!
At the count of three, when children open the shoe boxes, they're so excited.
I mean, it's just been incredible. Kids are so excited, giving them a gift, do it in Jesus' name, and that's what this is all about.
Jesus loves you.
It's a gospel opportunity. It's the chance for the children to change the entire life.
The word of God is spreading. The gospel is advancing.
It is impacting children. It is impacting families. It is impacting the world greatly.
Thank you for praying. Thank you for giving. God will bless, and God will use your gift to touch the life of a child and to be able to do it in Jesus' name. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of it. God bless each and every one of you.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad that you've come to worship the Lord with us today. Didn't our worship team do a great job leading us this morning? It's that time of year again when we celebrate Operation Christmas Child. We have a table set up in the foyer in that direction, and there are shoe boxes broken down that you can take home and fill up with items that a young girl or a young boy might enjoy. There are actually some helpful guidelines about things that are good to include and maybe some things that are not so good to include, because we're going to collect these just before November, just before Thanksgiving, and they're going to go all around the world, and they're going to bless kids with a little touch of Jesus' love. I've had the privilege of being on a distribution of these boxes in Russia, and I want to tell you, it was one of the most unforgettable experiences in my life. So we hope you'll stop by the table, pick up some boxes, and fill them up and bring those back before Thanksgiving for some boys and for some girls. I want to welcome everybody that is worshiping with us online today. We are so glad that you're able to join us through technology. We're sorry we can't be together physically, but we're glad we're connected by the Spirit of God, glad that you're here worshiping with us today. And we want to thank everyone for your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. Thank you for remembering your tithe. Thank you for remembering your giving to missions. We do have a missions emphasis weekend that is coming up early in November. We're going to celebrate the 60 missionaries and missions organizations that we support on a monthly basis, and we're going to ask you to participate in missions giving for the coming year. But we want to thank you for remembering your tithe. As we come to the fourth quarter, the last quarter of 2020, it's been a crazy year. We do have a little bit of catch up to do before the end of the year. And so thank you for just being faithful. If you're still earning a paycheck and receiving income, thank you for remembering to tithe on that. Because of social distancing, we are not going to pass an offering plate through the sanctuary today. But there are offering boxes at all the entrances and exits. You can drop your offering in the box on the way out, or you can give to Harvest Time Church anytime online at htchurch.com. Go to our website, click on the giving link, and it'll walk you through sharing a gift. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about shining as stars in troubled times, shining like stars in troubled times. Philippians chapter 2, going to start reading in verse 12. We have a new QR code in the bulletin we're using. It's kind of cool. My staff had to show me what that was and how to do something with it. But when you're not listening to the sermon, you can take a look at the QR code and all the information that's available through that. Philippians chapter 2, going to start reading in verse 12. I want to talk to you about shining like stars in troubled times. St. Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 12, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain, but even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and I rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me." Let's talk about shining like stars in troubled times. Harvest Time Church is here for three things. We're here to help people believe. We're here to help people find faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we're here to help people belong to the family of God. We have over 40 life groups that meet throughout the week, some here on this campus, some in other locations, some meeting online due to COVID. And if you'd like to become part of a life group, you can stop at the Connect desk after the service today, talk to Pastor Anita, and she'll help you find a place to belong. The third reason we're here is to help people be light. You know, in my lifetime, America has never needed God's light more desperately than we need it right now. Writing to the Christian believers in the Greek city of Philippi, St. Paul called the unbelieving people of the first century a crooked and perverse generation. Those are actually God's words taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. What was true then is true again in America. That word crooked is the same word for scoliosis of the spine. Something has gone terribly wrong in America. Something is off. We've developed an unhealthy, debilitating condition that's crippling us. Our culture has shifted out of proper alignment. We've become twisted. Right has become wrong, and wrong has become right. Good has become evil, and evil has become good. That word perverse, crooked and perverse generation. That word perverse means to turn aside off of the good path, to turn away from God's truth. And not only to turn away from it, but to actually turn against it, to vigorously oppose God's plans, God's purposes, God's morality, to fight hard against it. You know, what an apropos description of America today. We have turned aside from God's truth. And not only have we turned aside from it, we've turned against it. And we fight vigorously against it. Rather than protecting the innocent unborn, we fight for the right to murder them in the womb and then to harvest their tissue and their organs for profit. God help us. Rather than protecting vulnerable 8-year-olds who have neither the mature bodies nor the mature minds to make lifelong, highly personal decisions, we fight for the right to begin irreversibly reassigning their sex. Rather than protecting our precious young daughters, we fight to give young men the right to compete as women when they are not. We displace hardworking female athletes from national competitions and scholarships And then we send those same young men into our daughters' locker rooms to shower. Crooked and perverse, twisted with scoliosis and fighting against God's truth. It was true in Paul's day, and it is still true today. But here's the thing about darkness. The darker the darkness, the brighter even just a little light shines. Some MIT students studied just how far could the light of a single candle be seen with the naked human eye, and they concluded that a single candle flame, can be seen from a distance of a mile and a half away. That's amazing. My first place of formal ministry training was a little Bible school in northern Maine in the Maine woods north of the city of Bangor. It was my first time ever living in the sticks, and I could not believe how pitch black the darkness was without the city lights around that I was accustomed to. Seriously intense darkness. But I also noticed that never before did I see so many stars in the night sky. And the stars were so bright and they were so beautiful. The darker the night, the brighter the stars. And St. Paul wrote that the very same thing is true of us. As followers of Jesus, God has called us to shine like stars in the darkness. And the darker the darkness, the brighter we shine. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound through us. In these troubled times, how can we shine like stars? Looking at Paul's words to the Philippians, I want to share a few thoughts with you quickly today. How can we shine like stars in troubled times? On your way in, you received a program. There is an outline of today's sermon. If you'd like to listen, follow along, fill in the blanks. If you'd like an outline at home, there is a link in the chat section of the live stream. You can click on that link and download a PDF and have an outline. How can we shine like stars in troubled times? A few thoughts. First of all, keep pressing on no matter who is gone. Keep pressing on no matter who is gone. Paul wrote this letter to the young Christians in Philippi while he was under house arrest in Rome. He was facing trial for capital crimes before the infamous Emperor Nero. Paul was wrestling with the issue of his own mortality. He was wrestling with the prospect of his own impending death. But I want you to see that Paul's biggest concern was not the timing of his death, nor even the manner of his death. Paul's biggest concern was that the Philippian Christians would go on in their faith even without him. His concern was that they would continue holding tightly to the word of life, even if they were all alone in the world, even when society turned away from God's truth and turned against God's truth, Paul wanted them to continue holding on to it without him. His concern was that they would continue being obedient to God, just as Jesus was completely obedient to the Father, even to the point of death on the cross. He was concerned that they would continue on in the Christian way of life that he had taught them and modeled for them, that they would continue in the apostolic instruction that he imparted to them. October has been designated in the United States as Pastor Appreciation Month. Denise and I want to take a moment and say how much we love and appreciate every pastor that serves with us here at HTC. Pastor Nick and Patty are away this weekend celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary. Make sure you congratulate them when you see them. Pastor Faith and Tom, Pastor Kurt and Vivi, Pastor Ruth, Pastor Kimmy, Pastor Anita, the newest member of our staff, Anika. Only heaven knows how hard each one of them works every week on behalf of God's kingdom and on behalf of our HTC family. In 2018, the financial demands of finishing this sanctuary necessitated that we cut our payroll by doing some layoffs and making pay cuts. So for the last 2.5 years, Our pastors have worked harder than ever in their lives for a little less compensation to care for their families, and some have worked for no compensation at all. And my prayer is that God will make up to every one of them the sacrifices that they have made and even more. Would you just take a moment and let all of our pastors know how much you love and how much you appreciate them? Since it is Pastor Appreciation Month, I want to take a moment and I want to give honor to my pastor from Philadelphia. Richard was a Baptist pastor from England who somehow found himself leading a flock on this side of the pond in suburban Philadelphia. As a husband and a father of three young boys, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer in the early 1970s. He was so desperate for a miracle that even though it was against his Baptist theology, he drove to Pittsburgh to attend a Catherine Kuhlman healing meeting. Some of you will know her name. During the meeting, Richard was called out of the crowd and up onto the platform. When Catherine Kuhlman laid her hands on him, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was healed of terminal cancer totally and completely, and he himself received a gift of healing ministry. He came back to his little Baptist church and he called the whole congregation together on a Friday evening. He told them what had happened to him, and when he prayed for them, the wind of God swept through the place and people were filled with the Holy Spirit. The next morning, the deacons called a meeting and they dismissed him because, you know, God doesn't do anymore exactly what God had just done the night before. Apparently, they sent the memo too late. So Richard came to the beautiful Presbyterian church that my family attended, and he asked if he could rent the building for Friday night prayer and praise services. The place was packed on the very first Friday evening, and after that, if you wanted to get a seat, you had to arrive at least an hour ahead of time, or you'd never make it into the sanctuary, and it stayed that way for 20 years. While we worship the Lord on Friday evenings, billow after billow after billow of the Holy Spirit's presence would just roll over us in beautiful. It was very peaceful. It was very loving. The joy of the Lord was there. It was a beautifully in order in every way. But I'm telling you, the presence of God was so palpable in that place. We saw God do amazing things in the lives of thousands and thousands of people. Through Richard, we found faith in Jesus. We became born again. We learned the Word of God. We learned sound biblical doctrine. We learned how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how to love the presence of God. We learned how to pray. We learned how to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. Richard was really the best of both worlds. Being a Baptist, he had an incredible command of the Word of God and an ability to teach in a way that was very logical and linear, and you could wrap your mind around it. And being filled with the Spirit, the Word was alive. Richard was my mentor in ministry, my father in the Lord. As precious as St. Paul was to the Philippians, he was to me. The Lord called him home in 2002. His ministry is finished, but I'm still pressing on. And so are many hundreds of others that he discipled. Personally, I believe that God allows the cloud of witnesses in heaven from time to time to peek over the balcony and just check on us and see how we're doing. And I hope Richard knows that we are still carrying on loving Jesus the way he loved Jesus and the way he taught us and modeled for us. I hope he knows that we are still holding on to the Word of life the way he taught us. I hope he knows that we're still carrying on living as he taught us to live and as he modeled before us. If he can look over heaven's balcony, I'm sure he would have something very British to say about the very untidy condition of my desk. But that's what it means When Paul says, continue to work out your salvation with reverence, he doesn't mean we should work to earn our salvation. None of us could ever do that. Jesus alone saves us through his sacrifice on the cross in our place. But when Paul says, work out your own salvation, he means keep pressing on, keep continuing on to grow in grace, keep living out your Christian life just as I taught you to do, even when I'm gone. This August, we begin our 25th year of ministry here at Harvest Time. 24 years are complete. We're working on number 25. So I'm thinking a lot these days about who's going to carry on when we are gone. Now, don't worry, I don't have plans to go anywhere. I'm feeling in good health, and, you know, I'm not making any plans, but someday God will call us onward, or he'll call us home. And I want to know that our Thursday night couples group is still going to press on when we're gone. I want to know that the young adults that meet in our Thursday night hitcha group here on our campus, I want to know that they're still living godly, clean lives in reverence for the Lord when we're gone. I want to know that the young adults in our Tuesday night dinner party at our house are still clinging to the truth of God's word in a crooked and a perverse generation that calls good evil and evil good. That's why we're doing so much right now to invest in them. That's why we turned our family room upside down and moved all the furniture out and turned it into a dining room so we can spend more time, because we want them to press on when we're gone. I want the young adults in our college group to press on. I want our high school and middle school students, our elementary students, our pre-K students, I want them to press on when we're gone out of Harvest Time. I want there to come apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. I want to see deacons and ministry leaders and worshipers and creative ministries come from here. I want Christian leaders in government and science and technology and business and media and entertainment to come from here. This is my earnest prayer. I come in here to the sanctuary when you're not here, and I pray and I beg God. I say, Lord, please don't ever let Harvest Time fall in the hands of a bozo. Please let there be generation after generation after generation of believers who hold tight to Jesus and the Word of God and are full of the Spirit until Jesus comes again. How can we shine like stars in troubled times? Keep pressing on. Here's another thought. Practice inside out Christianity. Practice inside out Christianity. Just in case anyone might get confused by his words, work out your salvation, St. Paul is quick to remind us what alone enables Christian living. For it is God who works in you, first to will, and then to do his good pleasure. The Christian life can never, ever be lived in our own human strength. It can never be lived through our own efforts at becoming a better person. The Christian life cannot be accomplished through any amount of acts of religious devotion or through any amount of determination or willpower or good deeds. Paul's letter to the Romans makes that so clear to us. The Christian life can only be lived from the inside out. As we pursue our relationship with Christ, as we fellowship with him in prayer, as we fellowship with him in our own personal time of worship, as we fellowship with him in our own personal time in the Word, the supernatural power of God is released inside of us. First, he gives us a desire to live in a way that pleases God, and then he gives us the inner strength to follow through and to do it. I've shared this story before, and for those who have already heard it, forgive me in advance for repeating it, but it just makes the point so very well. When I was a boy, our neighbors across the street had a little dog named Rusty. Rusty was some kind of cocker spaniel mixed breed mutt. And he was a master escape artist. The neighbors had a fence all the way around their backyard, but Rusty always found a way out. He would squeeze between the gate and the post. They kept adding to the gate and adding to the post, but no matter how much they did, they could never keep that dog from staying in that fence. He'd climb up, they had trash cans in the backyard along the side of the house. He climbed up on the trash cans, jumped over the fence. A few times he got caught up on the fence and you never heard such a racket. He dug under the fence. They had to sink boards all the way around at the bottom of the fence to keep the dog from digging through. They had a swing set with a sliding board, and that dog climbed the sliding board, jumped over the fence. No matter what they did, they could not keep that dog from escaping. Our neighbor was the manager of a local lumber yard. When the lumber yard shut down, he brought home a big German shepherd named Sheba. Sheba had been the guard dog at the lumber yard. And for a few days, I watched as our neighbor boundary trained that dog. He walked her up and down, back and forth across the front property line and showed her the line where she must stop and must not cross. While Rusty spent his days in the backyard behind the fence that couldn't contain him, Sheba spent her days on the sunny front porch. If anyone stepped onto our neighbor's property, she would leap off of that porch and she would charge at them full speed, but she would always stop at the property line. Our very favorite sport as boys was to watch when there was a new mailman or a new newspaper boy in the neighborhood who didn't know that Sheba was waiting on the front porch. And they'd approach the house and Sheba would leap off of the front porch and charge, and they would throw the mail, they would throw the newspapers, and they would run for the hills. They didn't know that they only had to make it, they only had to beat Sheba out to the curb, and if they could make it to the curb, they'd be safe. In all the years that we lived across the street, I never once saw Sheba cross that line. Her master's voice was permanently in her head, and she never disobeyed. Religion is like Rusty's fence. Religion tries to impose obedience on us from the outside in, but it never can really tame the wild beast inside of us that is our sin nature. True Christianity is like Sheba relaxing on the front porch. As we pursue our relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit puts the Master's voice inside of our heart and inside of our heads so that we never cross the line and disobey God. We don't need a fence of religious rules and religious rituals to contain us. Indeed, no fence ever could. The Old Testament is proof of that. But the Holy Spirit inside of us makes us controlled and makes us self-disciplined to do what pleases God. This is good preaching right here, by the way. By the way, this is the difference between law and grace. This is the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. God says, I will make a new covenant with you, and I will put my spirit into your heart, and I will write my commands on your heart. I'll put the master's voice inside of your head so that you'll always obey him. God works on us from the inside out. Listen, outside in Christianity will never change culture. We'll never shine as lights if we're living outside in Christianity. It doesn't work. But if we will live the Christian life from the inside out, God will use us to light up this darkness and to shine as stars in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. How can we shine like stars in troubled times? A few thoughts. Number one, keep pressing on when others are gone. Number two, practice inside-out Christianity. Finally, this. How can we shine like stars in troubled times? Finally, this. Choose joy no matter what. Choose joy no matter what. St. Paul writes, if you really want to shine like stars, then be radically different from the people in your generation. And this crazy, mixed up, distressing and depressing, anxiety-inducing election year, COVID year. Nobody is really feeling very joyful. But we'll shine like stars right now if we will choose joy. Instead of grumbling, choose joy. Instead of the self-pity we see today, choose tenacity. Instead of bitterness, choose gratitude. Instead of entitlement, choose humility. Instead of resentment for authority, choose respect. Instead of argumentativeness, choose joy. Instead of belligerence, choose meekness. Instead of contentiousness, choose pleasantness. Instead of divisiveness, choose diplomacy. Instead of petulance, choose patience. Choose joy. Choose joy, because in this darkness, God still has lights in the world. It's you, it's me, it's His church, it's believers in Jesus. Choose joy, because in this crooked and perverse generation, God has a people who are blameless and pure, children of God without fault, not because we're perfect, but because we're righteous in Christ. Choose joy, because the offering, this is the word, listen, choose joy. Because the offering of your life poured out on the body of Christ is a worthy sacrifice. I have a word for somebody this morning. Facing the possibility of death, Paul says he's about to be poured out like a drink offering. In the Jewish temple in the Old Testament, they poured out on top of sacrifices. They'd make a sacrifice on the altar, and on top of that, they would pour out an offering of wine, a cup of wine. And facing his own death, Paul says, I am about to be poured out like a drink offering. But knowing that the Philippians are pressing on in Christ, Paul says, it is well worth every sacrifice I've ever made. For the last 3 weeks, I've had a word for someone burning in my heart, and today is the day the Lord told me to release it. In the Gospels, a woman poured a very expensive bottle of perfume on the body of Jesus. And some were indignant about the perceived waste. Here's the word for somebody this morning. I don't know whether you're here in the sanctuary. I don't know whether you're online. Receive your word. Every one of us pours out entirely the perfume of our life on something. The days of our lives are used up irrevocably on something. Our time is expended irrevocably on something, even if that's doing nothing. Our energy is exhausted on something. Our talents are given to something. Our passion is poured out on something. When our time here on earth is finished, all of us will leave behind us an empty perfume bottle. That's what we'll put in the ground, your empty perfume bottle. There's no question at that moment, your life will be entirely used up. The only question is, did you expend it on something worthy? Paul says there's no greater satisfaction, there's no greater joy than knowing that the offering of our life was poured out on the body of Christ. There is nothing more fulfilling than knowing that our time, our energy, our talents, our passion were invested to ensure that another generation behind us would keep pressing on even when we're gone. Everyone pours out the perfume of their life on something. Make sure that you pour yours on something that is truly worthy. How can we shine like stars in troubled times? Choose joy, because what looks like the end isn't the end of the line for you just yet. Here's another word for someone. Under house arrest in Rome, Paul said he really thought that he had reached the end of the line, but it wasn't the end of the line for him just yet. So much time had elapsed. Paul had been in prison from the time he was arrested in Jerusalem. He had been in prison for about 5 or 6 years at this point, and so much time had elapsed that his accusers didn't bother showing up for his trial in Rome, so the charges against him were dropped. Church history tells us that Paul was released from prison, and he went on to fulfill his goal of taking the gospel all the way west to Spain. I feel like I have a word for somebody listening today. It looks like you've reached the end of the line, but the Lord says to you, choose joy because it isn't the end of the line just yet. The big dream God has put inside of your heart, it's still very much alive, and God is orchestrating the events of your life right now to help you realize the fulfillment of that dream. Don't you worry about 5 years in Rome. Rome was just God's way of getting you for free halfway to your goal. He got free transport, courtesy of Caesar, from Israel all the way to Rome, halfway to Spain, and God took them the rest of the way. So take heart, choose joy, because it is not the end of the line for you yet. Somebody take the word of the Lord this morning. How can we shine like stars in troubled times? I'll end with this. Worship team, come rescue me. Choose joy, because Jesus wins in the end, and we will win with him. Precious friends, please listen to me today. No matter what happens in the next couple of months, choose joy. No matter what happens with the elections, choose joy. No matter who your brother or your sister in Christ votes for, choose joy. No matter who your pastor votes for, choose joy. No matter what happens with the Supreme Court, no matter what happens with COVID, no matter what happens with the economy, no matter what happens in America's cities, choose joy. Paul wrote these words in Philippians 2, under house arrest, chained to a Roman soldier. And I'm sure that back in his mind, as he wrote Philippians 2, in the back of his mind were the words of the Old Testament prophet Daniel. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. When time runs out and all is said and done, if we are in Christ, we are on the winning side. So choose joy. Stand on your feet and give Jesus a great big praise in this place. Listen, 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 listen. Somebody listen to me today. Somebody look at me. I know how your story ends. You win. I know how your story ends. You win. I know how your story ends. You win. You win. You win. You win. Somebody needs to shut off the news a little bit, all right? It's good to be informed, but you're so filling your head with the news that you're just messing with your own spirit. You're bringing your own spirit down, all right? Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. We need to fast. We need to pray. We need to do what we can do. We need to leave the rest to God. So shut off the news a little bit and open up the Word of God and remind yourself, you win. You win. You win. We win in the end. Choose joy, because if we're with Jesus, when it's all said and done, we're on the winning side, all right? Now listen, we're going to sing this song. They didn't take it in first, they didn't take it in second, so you take it in third service. We're going to sing this song, I'm going to see a victory. And when we get to that part that says, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good, I want us to make a war chant in this place today. I want us to sing that together in one voice as one person in Christ, and I want you to make that into a war chant. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. This is what I feel in my heart right now. I feel like somebody you're on the you take what the enemy meant for evil part of the equation. You had evil just coming at you. You've had the worst things coming at you. You're on that part of the equation. You take what the enemy meant for evil. Joseph, you're in the pit. Joseph, you're in Potiphar's house. Joseph, you're in the prison. You take what the enemy meant for evil. You're on that part of the equation. But as we're going to make a confession of faith today as one person, one voice, and we say, you take what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for good, there's going to be a turn that comes for you. And you're going to move, you're going to start moving to the you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You're going to start moving to the turn it for good part of the equation. How many of you ready? How many of you ready to make a shift this morning? How many of you ready to make a shift? All right, we're going to do it. Listen, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. There is a confession of faith that is powerful on the lips of believers in Jesus. We're going to make a confession of faith. You take what the enemy meant for evil. You turn it for good. There's somebody, something's going to turn today. This is Sunday. There's some business. Somebody, you have some business. It's not a day for business Sunday, but there's going to be some business transacted today that wasn't supposed to be transacted today that is going to take your situation from meant from evil to turn for good. Receive it in the name of Jesus. All right, come on, Caleb, let's do it. Let's lift up the Lord.
Come on, sing, you take.
You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Oh, you take.
Listen, while I was standing over there, the Holy Spirit gave me an instruction for you. He said, tell my people to ask me for the impossible thing right now. Tell my people to ask me for the impossible. I want you to lift up your face to the Lord. I want you to lift up your hands to the Lord. And I want you to ask Him for the impossible thing right now. That relationship that is damaged so far beyond repair, it is irreparable, it is irreconcilable, and you've just resigned yourself. This is the way it's gonna be. There's no fixing it. It's just, I'm gonna live out the rest of my life. It's gonna be this way. I'm gonna have a broken relationship. You ask the Lord for the impossible thing right now. You ask Him, come on. I don't know whether it's a financial need. I don't know whether it's a health need. I don't know. You ask Him right now for the impossible, just between you and Him. Ask Him right now. Come on, ask Him. I want to, you can move your lips and ask Him out loud. Speak it out. You can speak it quietly so your neighbor doesn't hear it, but I want you to speak it out loud. Speak it out loud. Everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. Look at me real quick. I got to do this quick, and we'll be done, I promise. Jesus, a blind man called out to Jesus, and Jesus stopped in his tracks, and he said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" It was obvious, wasn't it, that the man wanted to see. So was Jesus being mean? Was he playing with the man? No, see, Jesus wanted the man to speak the impossible thing. Jesus wanted the man to say, "Lord, I want to see." He wanted the man to take the impossible request, the thing that in the natural is not possible. He wanted him to take that request on his lips and speak it out loud. Because in just uttering it, you see, our faith begins to just by saying it out loud. Blind people can't see. But just by saying out loud, "Lord, I want to see," asking God, it's an acknowledgement that he's the one that can do the impossible thing. So listen, I didn't do this in first. I didn't do this in second. You're blessed with a bonus today. I want you to lift up your faces to the Lord. I want you to lift up your hands to the Lord. And I want you to ask him right now for the impossible thing. Just quietly whisper it. Your neighbor doesn't have to hear it. But I want you to speak it out loud. Don't just say it in your head. Out loud. I want you to speak it out loud. Ask him right now for the impossible thing. Come on. That person you believe, there's just no chance they're ever going to come to Christ. Ask for it right now. That money that is owed you, that you have written off, it'll never be repaid to me. I want you to just ask out loud for the impossible thing, for God to right a wrong. Ask him for the healing you need in your body. I want you to ask him right now for the impossible. Come on, for your children, for your grandchildren. I want you to ask him right now for the impossible thing. Ask out loud. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, come on. Now we're gonna do it one more time. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turned it for good. While we confess it, there's gonna be a shifting in that situation. It's gonna go from the evil part of the equation to the turn for good part of the equation. Do you believe it this morning? Come on, let's do it. Come on, you take what the enemy meant for evil. Help us, Caleb.
You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
I want you to get loud. You take what the enemy.
You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Sing it again.
You take. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Come on, you take what the enemy meant.
You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for
faith
good.
Faith is being released. You take what the enemy meant.
You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. What the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
I'm gonna see a victory.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We gotta. It's fun when God shows up the church. We gotta finish. But I just feel to say to somebody here, business was just transacted on your behalf. Woo! Business was just transacted on your behalf. Though there be an unjust judge, the widow who cries out for justice day and night, God will send justice and he will send it quickly. God just transacted business on your behalf. Something just shifted in this place. Receive the word of the Lord. A transaction just happened. Receive the word of the Lord. God just did business on your behalf right now. Receive the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, give him one more good praise. Hallelujah. God bless you, church. Listen, walk in victory this week and shine the light of Jesus everywhere you go. God be with you. Have a great Sunday.
Hope.
God, he's calling you to life. God can live. God can live. Shine upon you and have a blessed week.